The Virge Bernero re-election campaign reportedly has until October 31st to respond to charges that the Lansing mayor and two campaign aides illegally funneled money to Kathy Dunbar's city council campaign. Three complaints altogether, according to the Lansing State Journal's Kristen Daum. Now, according to the story, the mayor's accused of giving, quote, uncharacteristically high, unquote, salary payments to a pair of contract employees working on his campaign. A few days later, the employees donated money to the Dunbar campaign. Now, the mayor says he doesn't believe a mistake was made, but says he's cooperating with the Secretary of State and will respond accordingly, depending on what the Secretary of State determines. The results apparently won't be learned until after the election, so who knows what impact that this may have on the voting. Mayor Bernero joins us, by the way, here on Current State. Next Wednesday, we'll ask Virge Bernero about this situation and about other issues in the re-election campaign and city biz next Wednesday here on Current State. For now, we continue our election 2013 coverage today with a look at the race for city council in East Lansing. There are four candidates for full terms on the council, and an appointee to the council has a challenger for the right to fill the balance of one term. Current State producers Kevin Lavery and Scott Pohl join me today to report on the November 5th election in East Lansing. Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Scott, let's start with you. You spoke with the city manager and an outgoing member of the council about the challenges facing the next East Lansing City Council.
That's right, Mark. Now, with two and possibly three departures from the five-member council, I thought I'd try to learn more about what that might mean in terms of a loss of experience. East Lansing has a city manager form of government, and there's no change there, but I wondered about how the role of the council might be affected. Kevin Baird was first elected to the council in 2005 and re-elected in 2009, but he chose not to run for another term. He told me that before looking forward, you have to look back at years of budget cuts.
We have already cut the workforce by a quarter over the last decade. Almost all of that reduction in employees has been done through normal attrition. There's only been a couple situations where we've had layoffs. We have just as many firefighters on the trucks and just as many cops on the street. What we eliminated were middle management type positions in the force. So we're not really seeing a reduction in services from DPW or police or fire public safety areas, but we've been trying to figure out how to do more with less. And every single department in the city is staffed smaller than they were a decade ago.
Baird says that while shrinking the city workforce through attrition has helped, other difficult decisions have had to be made.
The other tough things we've had to do is defer some of our public infrastructure improvements and delay that. But what I foresee in the next 2 to 4 years is our revenues stabilizing and starting to increase, and a chance to pick up on some of that maintenance that we have deferred.
City Manager George Lahanas says East Lansing is facing the same problems towns all over Michigan are confronting, and they're all related to lower property tax revenues and reductions in state revenue sharing.
Obviously, communities in Michigan have been struggling also to fund properly the legacy cost issue. So this is post-retirement benefits that have been accrued to employees over the past 30 or more years. And then again, not surprisingly, if you drive on our roads in Michigan, is that the streets and infrastructure is in need of more investment in order to get it to a place where I think our residents and citizens in Michigan would be happy with that. So that's probably the best look at what we have to handle over the next couple of years.
With new faces a certainty on the council in 2014, East Lansing's city manager form of government could mean that a lack of institutional memory on the council will be negligible. Again, city manager George Lahanas.
The council role is to, from the biggest picture, set policy, direction, and appropriations of our dollars. But in the council manager form of government, there's a lot of continuity in terms of the city management, staff, the senior staff, and the people who are doing the day-to-day jobs of preparing the budget, of delivering services. So our form of government is actually pretty well built to endure changes where there may be people who don't have that much history, but certainly the professional staff that will be providing them information have a pretty good long-term picture here. So our job is to put the city council in the best position to make decisions, and whether it's a new council after November or this council now, that's what our role is.
Kevin Baird agrees. He says most former members of the East Lansing City Council are a phone call away, something next year's newcomers should avail themselves of.
You know, we've got good candidates running, folks that have been involved in the city at some level and are concerned about it. Some have more experience on boards or commissions or neighborhood associations than others. But we really do rely on the staff and the city manager to do a lot of research and provide us with information on which we base our decisions.
Baird tells me that he's advised people before about the notion of serving on the council. His guidance is simple, with three specific points.
The hours are long, the pay is small, and your hands are tied most of the time.
Okay, well, from one Kevin to another, Kevin Lavery, you've been studying some of the dynamics of economic development and relationships between students and permanent residents in East Lansing.
That's right, Mark. Many communities have a perennial tug of war going on between their downtown business core and their neighborhoods. There's always debate about how and where to invest a city's limited resources. And as a college town, East Lansing is constantly trying to keep an inclusive and a harmonious relationship between its students at Michigan State University and permanent residents. Whoever gets elected to the city council will have to weigh all these factors to move the city forward. Right now, though, East Lansing planners are encouraging all of its stakeholders to take a step back and look at the bigger picture.
That's the name of the city's comprehensive planning process. Every 5 years, state law requires East Lansing to review its projected land use 20 years into the future. This time around, there's signs of new hope for a long-neglected parcel at the city's front door. Tim Dempsey spends a lot of time analyzing the city's plots and tracts. He's the director of planning, building, and development in East Lansing. He zooms in on a satellite map to a spot just west of downtown.
If you look at Valley Court Park, where we have our farmers market, right now we have this dead zone. And we need to turn this area into a lively connection, more inviting for pedestrians to come into the west end of downtown, and also for those who are taking advantage of Valley Court and the farmers market, as I mentioned, to come eastward into downtown.
Dempsey says more walkability downtown will create a level of density that urban areas crave to stay economically viable. But there are differing opinions about what should be built there. Chris Nichols is one of those residents who enjoys the Sunday Farmers Market in Valley Court Park. Like many, she's watched the stops and starts of the adjacent project once known as City Center 2. For years, the mixed-use concept suffered a long string of setbacks that ended last year when the city terminated its contract with the former developer. The multi-building site is now being remarketed as the Park District. Nichols would like to see more retail there, but not more residential.
Through the years, there have been several options for the different components of that project, hotels, public theater, restaurants, student housing. I think we feel that there's plenty of student housing, and we'd rather not see more of that downtown and the congestion it brings in terms of, you know, vehicles and students in the very city center.
Resident Stuart Binky is awaiting the Park District's resurrection too. He thinks it could brand East Lansing with an identity that's distinct from its largest tenant, MSU.
Certainly the university shapes us, but I think it has to have its own mark. It has to have its own personality and signature that it needs to bring to bear, separate from the university. Not in conflict with it, but certainly that complements it.
Other residents see East Lansing at a tipping point that threatens the strength of its communities outside the Grand River Corridor. Elliot Singer says it's time to reverse the economic policies of the last 20 years and stop subsidizing downtown development with costly tax incentives.
The neighborhoods are struggling. We have an aging population that's increasingly on fixed income, paying very high taxes. And if they're neglected, the city's going to continue to see property values in the neighborhoods decline, and the city will be in more and more trouble.
Those who view the neighborhoods as the true heartbeat of East Lansing want to ensure their interests are protected. That means maintaining the city's often envied array of public services and its school system. and it means building positive relationships between permanent residents and students. You might call that Citizenship 101.
You're learning how to become a member of a community when you're living off campus in the houses.
Ryan McCaffrey knows that membership from both sides. The MSU senior grew up in East Lansing. Now he's a second-year intern on the Community Relations Commission, a group that includes students living in the neighborhoods who conduct regular outreach. McCaffrey admits there's tension sometimes between students and residents, mainly nuisance complaints like loud partying. But he says students play a vital role in shaping civic life, and they need services too.
We got 40,000 permanent residents and 30,000 student residents, so being involved in the local politics is important because services like CADA and medical amnesty would never have happened if there was any sort of civic engagement from the students.
Erin Carter is MSU's community liaison with the city. She says those good connections continue even as individuals come and go.
Neighborhood associations that have had students participate and had those students be vocal and viable parts of their groups, even though the student might have graduated, have invited another student to take that place because they have enjoyed the voice that has been brought. And that has really served to continue to even open more doors.
Election cycles carry with them the promise of new blood and fresh thinking. Residents like Elliot Singer say that's what they want to see from their next city council members. Singer says East Lansing needs independent minds that won't simply rubber stamp bad decisions.
If we can get a majority that thinks that way and does their homework and listens to the community, that'll bring about the kind of reforms that the city needs after what we went through for 15 years under the previous city manager.
Okay, so let's learn more about the candidates for East Lansing City Council. Scott?
All right, Mark. Now, the incumbents who are leaving the council are Kevin Baird, who we heard from earlier, and Victor Loomis. Four people are running for those two seats, and the top two vote-getters will each serve for 4 years. Alphabetically, we'll start with Sam Artley. She's a consultant with Mitchell Research and Communications, and last year she managed the Andrea Andrews-Larkin campaign for district court judge. On her website, she says business development is a top priority, and she has expressed an interest in East Lansing's daytime retail operations in comparison to the focus many put on the city's nightlife. She also hints at improving lighting and adding patrols as needed in parts of the city. Next is Ruth Beyer, an economist with the Michigan Education Association. She also was a deputy state treasurer under Governor Jim Blanchard. She currently serves on the city's Downtown Development Authority. It's clear from her website that she hopes voters will decide that her work as an economist will make her a good steward of city finances. She wants to fight any further cutbacks to police and fire services, convert rentals to single-family homes, and improve the condition of the remaining rental properties. Ben Iselink is a project manager with the local Vertifor software company. He was a graduate of the inaugural class of the East Lansing Emerging Leaders Program. His campaign announcement touted his work in strategic planning and customer service. His work in technology fields, he says, will help the city find technology-based solutions to problems. He'd like to create a downtown Wi-Fi bubble as one way of promoting a sustainable, diversified economic base. Lastly, we have Susan Woods, a name many will connect with having founded the East Lansing Film Festival 16 years ago. In 2011, she received an East Lansing Crystal Award. She would like to bring more arts programming to the city, and she expresses an interest in monitoring the Park District development project. Voters can vote for two of these candidates, and as I said, the two with the most votes will win.
Okay, and Kevin, what can you tell us about the two candidates running to fill the balance of this unfinished term on the East Lansing City Council?
Sure. Well, Don Power resigned from the council just over a year ago, and Kathleen Boyle was appointed by the remaining council members to fill his seat. Now, if she wants to keep it, then she has to win an election in her own right to stay in office until November of 2015. Kathleen Boyle is an attorney with an Okemos firm and has represented the Michigan State Troopers Association. She said that the city's planning process must consider the concerns of neighbors and developers. In the Lansing State Journal, she recently expressed a desire to keep her council seat and stay the course. In her year on the council, Kathleen Boyle has been involved with reviewing city ordinances, and she wants to keep working on the Park District plan and the city's comprehensive plan update. Her opponent is Joanna Bossy. She is an ethnomusicologist and a dance ethnographer at MSU. She told the MSU campus newspaper, The State News, that taxes in East Lansing are high enough that families have left the city for other nearby towns where they can, and this is a quote, get twice the house for half the taxes. The LSJ has reported that she sees tensions growing between year-round residents and the MSU student population, even to a degree that's greater than she's seen in other college towns that she's lived in. She said she'd work on bridging that gap. One final note, Mark, the East Lansing does not delay seating council members after the election. The three winners will tentatively be sworn into office at the first meeting after the election results are certified, and that will be Tuesday, November 12th.
All right. Thanks very much, Kevin Lavery and Scott Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.